What's up, boys? I hope you are having an incredible day. Just a reminder that we drop every Tuesday on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Google Play, and if you're an Amazon Prime member, you can listen to our podcast ad-free on Amazon Music.
Summer is all about the freedom to have fun. Forget a vacation and take a tequilacation with new Truly Tequila Soda. This refreshing blend of real fruit juice from concentrate, sparkling water, and premium tequila blanco is the drink of the summer. Try all four refreshing flavors, all with 5% ABV and just 100 calories. Truly Tequila Soda. Keep it light. Hard Seltzer Beverage Company, Boston, Massachusetts. Please drink responsibly.
The most beautiful thing about that wedding is everybody on Will's side. I think they all felt that way about Will. In your life, you will make a bunch of friends. And like some of those friends will be seasonal, and that's it's okay. It's how life works. But you're going to meet, I don't know, if you're lucky, six people in your life that are lifelong friends. It's not just about the seasons. Being around Will is the most fun thing ever. He's so easy to talk to. He's so easygoing. He does such a great job of realizing what he can control and what he can't control. And I think because of that, he has this ability to live lighter. Will doesn't care about anything other than just having a good time and being friends. And that's the cool thing. And that's super, super rare to have. And now we get to the river part, which we're all waiting for, right? We're 45 minutes into this thing. It's time for me to start telling you about the river. Welcome to Bustin' with the Boys. I am your humble co-host. I am solo today, so it's just the host. I run this shit now. My name is Taylor Lewan, and you're probably wondering, where's the kid? Where's the beautiful, handsome boy with the chiseled jaw and the great teeth? He just got married in Montana, Big Sky, Montana. And listen, Montana, beautiful country. Alex was there. Blossy's still flying in from there. Gorgeous place, but it's like barren. It's a barren ass spot. Like, it's like there's, I feel like there's 14 people that total live in Montana. I met six of them. You know what I'm saying? The whole entire time. We'll get into that. But obviously, every single episode is brought to you by Chevrolet, Silverado. I'd love to sit here and have some back and forth. I'd love to talk to you right now, Will, but you're not here, so I'm going to do this by myself if that's okay with you. It's the strongest, most advanced Silverado ever. Obviously, this thing is dundant. It's going to be. You know why? Because that's what the Silverado is. The Silverado is going to be dundant because every single day when you go in, you either press the button because they have that cool now where you put the key in, and you just press the button, or you're a classic cat that likes to twist and turn because Chevy's from the 60s and Chevy's from today's. They rip no matter what, right? This is what they fucking do. That's how it works. You can do anything you want. It's dependable, like the people who drive them, all right? I'm late to everything. I'm a horrible example of a man that drives a Silverado, but the reason why I drive a Silverado is because I'm trying to be like my truck, all right? So you see me, I'm an anomaly, but everybody else who's driving the Silverado, you need to know for a fact, those people are probably the most dependable, reliable you'll ever be around in your entire life. Let's see here. The design is big. It's bold. It's commanding. The truck turns heads. We've talked about the kink. We've talked about it. I need to get a new pillow in my house. The bed's outstanding. The last bed I went from was like a caveman sleeping on a table. GD. Can't say that word, so we got to edit that out. We all right? Hey, that's strike one. That's strike one. I got the kink in my neck. I got a kink in my brain right now because Alex just interrupted a little bit. And that's okay because my man was just on a 2 a.m. flight. He didn't get back to Nashville till 2 a.m. So we're good. The Silverado, my neck, it turns heads. And that's why the kink thing. Go back and other things. I've lost my point on that. It's a partner with grit and determination. Anything is possible with the Silverado as a partner. You can do it for tailgating, hauling, towing, off-roading, moving day. No one likes moving day. But if you have a buddy with the Silverado, you tow that thing in the back, you're living the dream because you know they can carry the couch, they can carry the bed, hopefully not my bed. That was a okay thing. Can't say damn, so just GD. That's what you got to do. And obviously the Chevy Silverado, we're not going to do specific days or anything like that. Just know that when you get into it and you see that beautiful sideways plus sign, that's the Chevy emblem, you know you're in good hands.
That bow tie.
Thank you, Alex. Hey, you saved it at the end there.
Trying to make up for it.
Yeah, no doubt. Back to the show. I'm kind of wondering whether I should start with like Will's wedding or I should go. There's like so much stuff that's been happening lately. Like, do I talk about myself first? Like I probably would usually.
Yeah.
Or should I go into the boy? So lately, For those of you who listen to this podcast, you've probably heard me say some negative things about the University of Michigan, and I stand by them. You know, I do. I think when I went to Michigan, I had a unique experience. It ended horribly. I had an assault case. You guys all know about that. And Michigan didn't really back the boy like that. It was something they said they were going to, hey, we got your back. And then all of a sudden the game ended and it wasn't so great after that. And you leave and you never realize the impression you have on an establishment, on a place until you leave, which is, I feel like that goes for everybody. Yeah, I mean, no one's really appreciated as much as they are until they're gone. And the other day I was sent a video by one of the guys. His name's escaping me at this point, of a mannequin. And they did the boy some favors. All right, the package looks phenomenal. It looks like I have a six-pack in my jersey. Like, I'm willing to live in infamy that way. I think I'm more than happy to have a sausage in the pants and an absolute 12% body fat. I'm all about that. But he says, hey, we're making these mannequins of, like, Michigan legends. And to be referred to as, like, a legend at a university, such a prestigious university that's been around for so long, it's very cool. So you got Woodson, you got Denard Robinson, Tom Brady, Devin Bush, and myself in the video you'll see. And it's so crazy because when I was at Michigan, we were just straight. We were a dumpster fire, dude. We were just absolute wet garbage. And it's so funny because in this video, too, me and Denard were in the same class. And we were so terrible. But yeah, we're here as a recruiting chip, which is pretty badass, man. The University of Michigan's been, they're definitely putting money in their facilities. They're getting after it. But I don't know. I've said before, like, yeah, they got to get better. And it's like, you know, I'm not going back and forth. Like the boys got to get better, right? We like the only way for us to be good, you got to beat Ohio State, and we can't beat Ohio State. It's like, what? I don't know if we have a number, but it's like 19 in the last 21, something crazy like that. Your boy was in one of them. Just know that we're trash, dude. They got so many damn gold pants over there. That's what you get when you're at Ohio State. We got to get better. So I don't really feel like trashing them anymore, but listen, we got to live in reality. We can't pretend like, you know, you're all of a sudden Alabama and Ohio State and Clemson now because you made a nice video of me. I really appreciate you guys, and I love it. But, yeah, see, it's tough out there. What are those? All the Michigan ones. What is that, from 19...
Yeah, 1897 through 1905.
That's a tough gig.
Here's the recent right here.
Yeah.
Since 2012. Yeah, 2011 was the last one.
2011, that's when your boy was there.
Yep.
We did. We lost to them, and we lost to them like a nice little, like a last-second banger in 2013. That was my senior year. So anyway, that was super cool, dude. I really thought that was a badass deal. I loved that. Michigan rips. That's life. Oh, this is some crazy shit. So I guess, has it come through yet that the NCAA now is like,
the NIL stuff?
No, they have to pay the players now, right? What's NIL mean?
What does NIL stand for, boys?
You said NIL stuff. You're the one that you did the abbreviation.
I just know NIL stands for, conceptually, yes, players are now able to make money off of their likeness. So I think it's name, image, likeness, I guess.
Yeah.
NIL. So they're able to leverage their own personal brands for, like, you couldn't even go do, like, football camps and stuff in the past. Yeah. And use your name. Now I guess you can go and do stuff like that.
Yeah. That's cool as shit. I like that. So I used to be a guy actually on the fence. I used to be on the other side of the fence before. When I was, like, kind of coming out of college, I thought, oh, but college players shouldn't get paid because it's like, that's how you become a pro. Like, it's the step you have to take to become a pro. And it was kind of like a non-educated thought, because if there's money to be made and you're the person playing the game, you should be compensated in one way or another. And the NCAA, this dude, it's like any other world, any other business in the world would be highly illegal.
Yeah.
Like what they do to the players, not just football players. You can be hockey players, baseball players, softball players, basketball, gymnasts, everything in between. You'd say it's billions and billions of dollars, and you guys are just taking it all, not giving nothing to nobody. So I used to be a person that was like, no, the college players shouldn't make money. And then when you get to the NFL or whatever your next step is in that sport, you should be able to get compensated for that. Now, I don't know all the rules in this thing because your boy don't read very much, but I will say that, is it like everyone gets a cut rate? Like everyone's making like $5,000 a month, or is it like individual people?
I don't think, correct me if I'm wrong, if you guys know, I don't think it's as much of like they're now on payroll. I think it's more so they just have the freedom to be able to profit off of their own name, image, and likeness. So
got you.
They now can go do those camps. They can
Yeah, go make money on that stuff, but yeah. They're not like getting a paycheck from the NCAA.
No, I don't think so.
See, that's still some bullshit. I think the NCAA needs to start cutting checks, dude. If you're just able to go make more money for yourself, but like the NCAA still, no, they're not getting hurt at all.
It's just tough because they can't go like a blanket rule, right? Like, yeah. Like Michigan athletics makes way more money than whatever.
Yeah, Temple or like a smaller D1 school. Nothing against Temple. There's a lot of good players out there, but it's obviously not like a big Michigan. I think, I don't know. They should be divvying that money up somehow, but it's tough. Like for me, if I'm in college right now as an offensive lineman, I'm hot because I'm not making shit.
Right.
And then when I'm in college with a guy like Denard Robinson, dude, Denard could not go anywhere. Shoelace could not, like we would go to the bar. Guy didn't drink. He was all time. Like he was all about that business. But like we'd go to the bar and he'd hang out with the boys. And it was like an absolute, it was a jersey chasing fest, dude. The girls of Michigan would be flocking to my poor guy. Don't feel bad for him at all. But like he couldn't do nothing. He couldn't go anywhere. And he was just a G on that campus. He would have made hundreds of thousands of dollars, I feel like, unless there's a cap on it. That's what I'm wondering, if there is a cap on the whole thing. It's really not a big deal. But another thing that happened in the NCAA, and I don't want to, we're going to start towing some lines here, folks. So saddle up, put your seatbelt on, because it's going to get a little fun for a second. Well, recently, the World Series is going on right now, right? Mm-hmm. The World Series. And yeah, okay, I got Garrett in the back shaking his head. This is a bit of a deal. So it's NC State, right? NC State and Vanderbilt. So, hey, listen, yeah. We're local country folks. You might like some of these things I'm going to say. You might not like it, but I bet it's probably going to be the truth. So NC State and Vanderbilt are going toast. The winner of this, correct me if I'm wrong. I don't want to keep saying that. That must be the title of this whole entire thing. Correct me if I'm wrong. If Vanderbilt had to beat them twice to go to the World Series, that is correct. All right, so the winner of this, though, would go to the final one, the top two teams. So Friday, Vanderbilt beats NC State. So now the series is tied at one. NC State, are they like, what was their ranking before? Are they better technically than Vanderbilt? It was kind of like a toss-up, like a 3-4?
Vandy's
one seed.
Yeah.
Man, Vandy stays ripped in baseball, dude. Vandy really does. So Vandy beats him on Friday. And I think it was either yesterday or today. Or it was yesterday.
The following morning.
Yeah. So four kids from NC State test positive for COVID. Now I get it. Let's go back 6-7 months. We'll all be up in arms at that point, right? We'd be shitting our pants. Well, they can't play. They shouldn't be able to play. Blah blah blah. Now half the country is vaccinated. These players that were that tested positive for COVID already were vaccinated. So riddle me that vaccination, people. What's going on with that? I don't know, but like, what's the deal, right? What if I'm looking at you and you're a vaccination person? What's the deal with the thing, right? Like if I get stuck in the shoulder, shouldn't I be immune from the deal, or am I getting stuck in the shoulder to get stuck in the shoulder, and then after that we have to do the thing? Gonna have to do the thing.
You can get it. You can still get it. That's not how vaccines work. You can still get sick.
Yeah, but I'm just saying. But yeah, you know what I'm saying? Like then now it's like, okay, well, yes. What are we doing it for?
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Anyway. So NC State, these four kids get popped for COVID, right? They get fucking popped, dude. That's a shit deal for the boys. They fucking were sneaking around at night doing some shit they didn't. They got popped. And now the NCAA comes out at 2 a.m, like a are you up text. Like, hey, you up text. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like some bullshit bitches. Like, you're not going to wait till the sunlight's out. People got to wake up to this shit. You know what I'm saying? Saying that these kids can't go play. Vaccinated players were among positive cases. NCAA decision came swiftly, and both teams were contacted at 1:10 a.m. Bro, if I'm playing a game the next day, I'm asleep. What, are you going to wake me up and say, hey, we're not playing? Well, then what do I do? Go back to sleep? Like, what are you going to do after that? That's ridiculous. So these kids go, I just feel bad for them, man, because it doesn't just suck for the NC State kids. The NC State kids... That sucks for them that they can't play. And now they're always going to wonder in their head, well, if we would have gotten toes and beat them, who says we couldn't have won the World Series? But it also sucks for Vanderbilt and whoever they're going to play next. Who are they playing next?
Yeah.
Who's State? Mississippi State? So whoever wins that, there's a giant fucking asterisk on it. It's like, no, there's no chance now. Two SEC teams, good baseball teams, obviously. But like, there's always going to be a what if. What if Vandy and so-and-so played? 1,000 things can happen in a game. We all know that's not the most contact sport in the world, but anything can happen. So I feel really bad. And it's just like, I don't fucking get it. Because if I'm running Bussin' with the Boys, which I don't, but I'm saying if I'm running with the Bussin' with the Boys, I'm allowed to fuck up a little bit. You know what I'm saying? Because one of the employees right now is wearing a Grateful Dead t-shirt. Like, we don't have all our ducks in a row. It's not like we're wearing suits and ties. Like, we're kind of just flying by the seat of our pants. It's been 2.5 years. It's been a year and a half or whatever it's been. And we just got fucking AC. Like, with things are getting fucked up. But if you're the NCAA, like, what are you doing, bro? That's the dumbest shit I've ever seen in my entire life. And it's like, have a press conference or something, but don't call people at 1:10. What time was the game? 4 a.m.? Was it like 3 hours before the game? I really doubt it. You know, it's probably a golden hour game, right? You know, it's one of those things. 6 o'clock, sunsetting. Your girlfriend wants to get a picture, but you're up to bat next. It's one of those things. That's the kind of deal we're talking about. So it's just like, NCAA, handle your shit better, right? Like, it's just like, you've been doing this. You've been taking advantage of these kids since when the NCAA get established? I don't know. The beginning of time, we'll say. All right. It was Adam and Eve and the CEO of it. Of the NCAA. That's what it fucking was. I don't know. Who cares?
1906.
Like, what is that? That's wild. Get your guys' shit together, dude. Because you guys are, I feel like you're slowly getting exposed. Hopefully it kind of dissolves into a different thing eventually, because NCAA is just trash. When I was in college, you would have to, like, you would go and get your meal. It was the weirdest rules, because, like, we obviously get help with school. Like, we'd have tutors appointed to us. We didn't have to pay for the tutors. Like, that was nice. Like, our schedule was set up. Like, you remember, like, Garrett, you and all of you guys know this. You go to college, like, when you're going to set up for your school, like, you have to be, like, on point. Like, these are the classes I want to get into. You guys are waiting up till probably 1:10. I guess that's when NCAA starts or whatever school fucking starts. When you guys are waiting to type in, this is the class I want to go to, and register it before it fills up too much, we've already done that a week in advance. You know what I'm saying? So we've already gotten all the classes we need to get into. And that's a good gig. We're playing back and forth, right? It's like I'm in a tennis match and there's just cameras on me, but I'm have to run back and forth to hit the ball. So we have a couple of good perks, but then it'd be dumb shit. We could get a bagel. Like, if you wanted a bagel, it'd have to be a plain bagel. You couldn't have anything on it. Can be an everything bagel. Couldn't even have garlic on it. I'm a big garlic guy. But you couldn't have cream cheese. You were allowed to give cream cheese. You could have cereal, but you couldn't have milk. It's like, what kind of dumb shit are we doing, NCAA? Like, it's just ridiculous. And then I always laugh at when people are like, you know, college athletes have it so much easier than regular people. It's like, no, that's not the fucking truth at all. I was listening to, I'm not going to say the radio show, and I'm not going to say who was on the radio show, but they were having this conversation. When you're a college athlete, you're waking up at 6 a.m. You're going to work out. You're finishing your workout. You got to go to the classes that everybody else just woke up before to go to. Then you got to go to practice. Then after practice, you get your food, and then you go to the academic center or whatever you guys want to call it. That's what it was called in Michigan because they have no imagination. Academic center, and you go there. You get your tutor, and you get your homework done. Then you go home and you go to bed. It's like 10 o'clock by then. It's a fucking grinder. It's wild. And then you get to the NFL, and you're like, holy shit, I got all this time in the world. Being a college athlete is so much harder from a day-to-day standpoint than it is being an NFL athlete. NFL's a chill boy. You're just hanging out all the time. Like, I'm a woke up at 8:30 today. I got two kids. It's a nice gig. You know, I got this podcast and a workout that I don't know. Might sneak off into the bathroom and jerk off. You don't know what you're going to do, right? The world's my oyster. After that, as a college athlete, you got to go in the academic center bathroom and jerk off. And that's like you're on a timetable because your tutor's waiting on you. So anyway, that's a bit of a deal. What else we got going?
You want to recap the wedding?
I'm fucking exhausted. God damn. I'll tell you. Yeah, we'll recap the wedding. I'm exhausted. I don't think I've really drank at all in like, God, over a year, wouldn't you say, Tay? Yeah, maybe longer than that. And you guys are sitting there snarkling. It's probably thinking about that Predators thing. Well, the Predators thing, I purposely didn't get any beer in my mouth, because your boy was trying to watch out for inflammation. Recently, in the last couple of weeks, my knee's been doing so great. The swelling's been going down. I'm running. I'm changing direction. Like, your boy's going to be ready for the season. I'm stoked. Unless something ridiculous happens. So I get to the wedding. I have zero intention in drinking. And you just probably think I'm building up to the video of me passed out in the river. Like, I guess we are building up to that, right? I guess in a way we are.
In a way we're building up.
But let's fucking Tarantino this thing. River, right? We talked about it for 2 seconds. Now let's go back to the beginning. Will and Charo met. I'm just kidding. I'm not going to go into that. This fucking... Will and there was a beautiful ceremony. The speeches were. I feel like you got to start putting a timetable on speeches, though. There were some long, long boys and girls out there, dude. But they were just saying what their heart felt. Mm-hmm. But we got a little long winded, and I was babysitting a couple of drunk players, and they would not stop fucking laughing. It was hilarious. So the wedding's in Bay Sky, Montana. It's at a place called Rainbow Ranch. The place is awesome. It's you go behind the hotel, and it's like the scenery's beautiful. There's mountains. Like there's a flowing river going across. It's a epic setup. And especially coming from like Nashville, Nashville's a beautiful spot, but this place is like, you know, the old guy with a long mustache is God's country. Like that's the kind of shit we were dealing with out there. Like it was God's country. I thought there was a bear in every single goddamn corner. So we get there, we fly out, we fly into this small little like one landing strip and like a one hangar airport. And it's like, we are in BFE. There's fake cows set up on the side so other cows know to probably stop here. That's what I'm assuming it was for. Like on the runway, as you're flying, what are you saying? No, they were fucking cows, dude.
That's what we were laughing about. Because when you look closer, they were just signs.
Well, you don't have a microphone. So we hit this runway and there's cows lined up on the runway. And I'm thinking, why the fuck do the cows know to stop here? Like these are the alpha cows or something like that? They were fake cows. We get there. We pull up. It's me, Taylan, our two kids, Lindsay, Harold, Landry, and Jayon Brown. Two cars pull up. We get in the cars. We start driving. The drive is an hour and a half away. That's fine. But if you have a one-year-old, oh, fuck, right? Like everything's good until you add the one-year-old and it's like, fuck myself, dude. The kid handled her shit like a damn champ, dude. She handled it. She's a tank, and she acted like it. She was just in her seat, chilling, chill girl the entire time. It was unbelievable. The next venture, we end up driving, and it's like 90 miles an hour. It's a straightaway, basically the whole time getting around this thing. You're going, I'm playing the passing game. We finally get to Rainbow Ranch, and it's a nice setup, dude. People are there. The thing, here's the deal with a wedding. Like, you can have all the nicest venues in the entire world. You can go to the nicest places. But if your crew, I'm talking about the entire wedding, if your crew sucks, the wedding's going to suck. This crew came in with a mission to have a goddamn good time at this wedding. And that's exactly what they did. They killed it. It was overall 4.5. It was outstanding. We get there. The first thing is the rehearsal dinner. And, oh, fuck. So we do the rehearsal dinner. We do the rehearsal dinner and like we're all just hanging out. We're talking. Everyone's excited to see each other. Like I'm playing the get to know you game with a couple of people. We're like kind of like courting each other. It wheels around, bouncing around, having a good time. And we do the thing where, okay, now you walk. And this is where you stand. Then you put your hands left over right. Do we wear glasses? Of course you don't wear glasses, but people still got to ask if you got to wear glasses. That we're going through the whole shit that everyone who's been in or had or have done a wedding know that you go through. We finally finished that. It's a buffet style little deal. You have the benches are just not benches. The fucking it's like a lunch table type seating. You lay it out. There's a nice little drape over it. The food is delicious, and we're all hanging out, having a good time, and we start doing speeches. Charo Bishop, that's now Charo Compton. She has a friend named Lee. Lee is a 5'2", 96-pound Asian with a confidence. Of whatever the most confident body type is. I was going to say like 400 pounds, but I feel like 400 pound people are like, you know what I'm saying? Like consistently probably not the most like confident. Anyway, Bodybuilder. I don't know. This girl gets up and I'm excited. She's got her phone out. She's doing the phone dance where her eyes, she's staring at the phone the entire time, which like, listen, if you ever have to do a speech in your entire life, it's not about like how good of a public speaker you are at that point. It's about like, just say your shit. It's going to be good or it's going to be bad. But at the end of the day, no one really gives a fuck. Cause like the bride and groom are so caught up in their own shit going on. It doesn't matter. She's doing the phone dance and she starts talking about Charo. And it's like, I'm looking at her. She's so detailed. She's talking about Charo and their friendship and what they've gone through. And I'm starting to look at Charo in a different light. Not that I looked at her in a bad light before, but I'm looking at her going, wow, okay, that's awesome. They have a good time. And then she starts talking about Will. And if you think I'm hard on Will in this podcast, You should have fucking seen this little Asian girl drop the goddamn hammer on this dude. It was like the roast of Justin Bieber. It was, but all of them, all the best jokes combined into one. She started saying, when I met him, his teeth, I couldn't understand a word he would say. His vocabulary was terrible. Don't know what it is about Bishop and her friends. Can't understand it. But they are all about vocabulary. That's all that they you, if you meet Charles Bishop and any of her friends, you better say a big word like superfluous or you're fucked. Okay, because they know all the big words. She starts killing him for that. And it's just a bit of a deal, man. She's just like murdering this dude. And Will's looking over at me like, hey, I'm the monkey in the GIF with the on life support. Like he was acting like that he was getting murdered. Over, but like, you know me, I like to mess with the boy. So Will goes, sorry, Shlee goes, she sits down, and then it's either my turn or Brad's turn. Brad LeBrot, that's how you say his last name, LeBrot? Okay, Brad LeBrot, that's going to be your name right now. If it's not, we'll edit something in with it. But Brad is supposed to go up next. Brad is shit scared of doing a speech. Fucking terrified about it. I didn't know how terrified he was. And then like I looked over during Lee's speech because I needed a break from the roast of my boy getting burned up, torched. I needed to look at something else for a second. And I look over at Brad and he's literally palms in his face like this, just like rubbing his temples. And he's like, he can just tell like this man's like one, someone jumping out of behind a tree, heart attack away from dying. Like that's how fucking close we're to going down. Lee goes and sits down. Now Brad's up. I like to start this part of the story with, I love Brad. I think Brad is an outstanding person. When I first met Brad, it was a horrible first impression for the both of us. We didn't like each other. And now like we've become really good friends. Will starts filming Brad. I start filming Brad. And Brad starts off the entire speech with, I'm sorry. I didn't mean to. I'm messing this up. Oh, I'm fucking this whole thing up. Like he starts spiraling and he's like saying like small points of his speech while like plummeting to the ground on a straight nosedive, like absolutely dying. And he gets quiet for a second. He's just like, and it's super sad, dude. I have the whole video on my phone, but we're not going to put it on the bus, obviously. We're not going to post it, but goddamn, man, that dude was, he was dying. He was burning up. And he like pulls his phone out, he puts his phone back in, and he just like says, I'm sorry a bunch of times. And everyone's like, dude, you're fine. Just say the words now. It doesn't matter. It doesn't have to be emphasis. And Brad's like, he gets quiet for a second. And it's like, he's quiet long enough to where you're like, man, this guy just really cares a lot about Will. Like, that's really all he does. He loves Will so much. And he's worried about messing it up for Will. And that's how much he's being affected. It's not necessarily the speech itself. It's who the speech is about. And so then it turns into, all right, this is a forest fire into like, okay, this is just a small little like controlled fire. Like we're going to handle the situation. And he's just staring at Will and it's like quiet enough to where like, okay, someone's got to say something eventually. And he's like, can I just speak from my phone? He grabs his phone. He does the speech and the speech is beautiful. He does an amazing job. He says a bunch of things, how like at one point, everybody here who knows Will could have called Will their best friend at one point. And he's just like saying these amazing things. And I don't know. He finishes the speech. He did fine at the end. Like at the end, it was good. The first 3.5 minutes were tough to watch, but it's because he just cared so much. And I think that's where a lot of people, and I think anybody who knows Will, either from this bus or personally, I think you all realize like that's the kind of person Will is. Like you just want to be around him. He's the kind of guy like I was told when I was a kid. I don't know if I was a kid. I was like maybe 15 or 16. Like in your life, you will make a bunch of friends. And like some of those friends will be seasonal and that's it's okay. It's how life works. Like you're not going to be with friends with everyone forever, but you're going to meet, I don't know, if you're lucky, 6 people in your life that are lifelong friends. It's not just about the seasons. It's not just because it's just like where I am in my life and they're in the same place and we end up being great friends for a second and it dies off. Like there's people that you just are truly your friend and like you just cherish them forever. And I think the most beautiful thing about that wedding is everybody on Will's side, I think they all felt that way about Will. It wasn't a seasonal thing for anybody there. And I think even the guys like Jack and Garrett, you guys sitting here, like being, you guys can speak up if you want. Being around Will is the most fun thing ever. He's so easy to talk to. He's so easygoing. And I mean, I know now why he takes it so well on the chin. Goddamn, Charlie and her friends. My, you should have heard the other speech, the maid of honor speech. She was killing Will too. But it's
the pastor got after him too.
Yeah, at the altar. Pastor at the altar. Yeah, yeah. Anyway, Ken, that's Will's suit. It's just being around Will as one of those people, like you just like, he's just a guy you love. He's a guy you want to be around all the time. He's a guy you want to talk to. He's an easy person to talk to. He's God, he just, I don't know what it is about him, because if you're like, hey, tell me a characteristic about Will, it's so easy. It's like, there's not one specific one besides hardworking that really comes to mind. It's always like, there's so many things that Will does well. And one thing that he did with Charlie, and I hope he's okay with me saying this, is they went to like before marriage couple counseling. Did you do that, Alex?
Yeah, he's talked about that a lot on here.
Oh, he has?
Yeah,
I'm not a great stuff, listener. Yeah. See, that's probably something I could work on the bus. And did you do that when you were getting married?
Yeah.
How did you like it?
I loved it. Yeah.
Yeah?
I thought it was great.
We missed that. We like to stuff things deep down. But Will, when he first started going, I remember the first couple times he was like, man, fuck this. I don't want to do this. Kind of attitude. He didn't say those specific words out loud, but like you could tell he just didn't want to do it. But like after the first time going, man, he's just starting to talk about how like he really likes it. And he's like, he goes and he just lets it out, starts crying. It's like, it's about him and Charles. Then it's about just him. That's about just Charles. And they feel great. And it's just, that's one of the coolest things about Will, especially in the sport of football. Because in the sport of football, there are so many people, athletes, coaches, up top people, whatever the fuck that word is, that just like are so blinders focused on what they're doing. They don't take the time to work on themselves. And Will, being able to deal with the adversity that he has, and adversity it's always a hard thing to say, because like I dealt with adversity this year, but like how many people do you know have had an ACL? I feel like I've met like 1,000 people that have been like, yeah, I've had two, you know? And it's like, what you're so consumed in, but like Will, his dad sent me this email about the speech I was going to give. I was like, hey, I need some help. Like, and his dad sent me like all these things about Will's determination, his grit, his, you know, the classic lines that Will says about himself, like him being obsessive over rivals and having a plan and everything being strategic. He just handles things so well. He does such a great job of realizing what he can control and what he can't control. And I think because of that, he has this ability to live lighter. And I just think that's so cool. Cause like I have an extremely hard time with that. Will is like, because of how light he is and easy to be around, he's everyone's best friend. And the coolest thing is like how many, you know, I never, like, this was like, if you were talking about people in 2021 talking about we need to be more diverse, this is the most damn diverse wedding I've ever been to. Asians, Mexicans, Black, and it's like everybody was best friends with, like, Will doesn't care about anything other than just having a good time and being friends. And that's the cool thing. And that's super, super rare to have. So good for you, Will. Perfect timing. Thank you. Free fly. Probably don't read the call to action first. Okay, introduction. Brands send us clothing all the time. And there aren't too many that I actually say that I love enough to wear on a consistent basis. Okay, they wrote this. There's lots of stuff they send us that we like, but I do like Firefly as well. It's very comfortable. There is one brand that is so ridiculously comfortable that it's become a go-to for the past couple of years. We haven't had this podcast for a couple of years, but I know what they're saying. You know, Freefly rips. Freefly makes performance clothes made from butter soft bamboo and literally feels like, describing your own words, butter soft bamboo would also be what I would say. Insert favorite product. Cut that out, Bloss. I don't have one. Whether you're outside hitting the gym or lounging around the house, this stuff is outstanding. When you're at the gym, the last thing you want to do is feel restricted, especially in the waistband area, right? You start to feel like the kind of fat guy vibe that maybe the AC hits you and a pretty girl walks by and you're like, I don't want that. I don't need to feel kind of gooey. With Freefly, you don't have that at all. It's unbelievable. On top of being super comfortable, Freefly's bamboo clothing is UPF sun protection, wicks away moisture, and it won't hold odor. So if you, like your boy over here, a lot of times I forget to wear deodorant. Call it a flaw or not. Maybe I don't know. Maybe it is a flaw. When I don't put the deodorant on, I get a stinky boy, right? And especially when you start sweating, it starts stinking up times two or three. It's a tough little gig. So with this free fly stuff, I get to not wear deodorant. Maybe stink a little bit, but it's wicking away the moisture. My shirt's taking it in. It's making me feel good. This is unbelievable, and here's what you got to do. You can get 20% off when you go to freeflyapparel.com/buffin. Bussin. Not buffin, but bussin. B-U-S-S-I-N. Again, that's freeflyapparel.com/bussin. Let's get back to the show, even though I sit here and stop my stories. So anyway, Brad does his speech. We've talked about how much we love Will. I wish there was an open mic at that wedding. That'd have been super cool. We did it. That's one thing I realized at Will's wedding is how fucking crazy my wedding was. We had some crazy shit go down at our wedding. It's not what we're talking about right now, because I feel like those people come after me. But this shit was wild, dude. And this was just a smooth ass wedding. Everyone was having a good time. People were there to have a great time. Brad does his speech. I did my speech. Listen, if you guys ever want me to be a groomsman in your wedding, Alex, your next one, Dalen,
chill.
If we ever don't make it, you want me to still, we'll still be best friends. You need to give him a speech. Please God, tell me to,
wrap it up.
No, not wrap it up, but just do a little more work on it. I kind of just go up there and do speeches. I just talk. I just got to write it down, dude. I don't write it down. I wrote a little bit down, but I didn't write enough. Anyway, I enjoyed my speech. People liked my speech, but I gave Taylor a speech before, and Taylor looked at me like, hey, you fucked up your speech. So I feel like I had to give that insurance policy. So Friday night goes by. Your boy's not drinking, right? Because we already talked about how I'm not, like, I'm all obsessed with this knee. I don't want to drink. I don't want to do any of that stuff. I just want to focus on football. Well, it was like my Frank the Tank moment. Because Saturday gets here. We hit breakfast with the boys. It's great. We're hanging out. There's this little town center about 5 miles away, town center, right? There's like 13 people there and it's beautiful. Hang out, have a good time, go back, get some lunch. The boys start getting suited and booted, getting ready. And now it's like game time. We do our photos. It's like time to go. We have like 15 minutes before we go walk out. Will's about to get married and Will's super nervous. So everyone's like, let's do a shot for Will. And I'm like, well, you know, I can't not do a shot, right? You're here for the boy. It is what it is. That whiskey touched my lips. And I was like, someone's going to die tonight, and I hope to God it's not me. What? Yeah, so, Taylan, she doesn't have a mic, but she got a text from me at what time? 6:26 p.m. I'm getting fucked up tonight. Prepare for the worst. All things considered, I think it was a pretty good night. Thank you. I appreciate that. And Taylan, I want to give Taylan a shout out on just a classic wife move. I was about 4 drinks in about 15 minutes and Taylan started giving me the, hey, you need to pace yourself. You need to do, hey, chill. You need to relax. And I was about to clap her out, dude. I was about to give her a, oh, I was about to do the whole like couple fighting at the wedding thing. I was getting hot about it, dude. Like, I'm trying to, yeah, yeah. If you're going to talk, hey, if you're going to talk. Let's put our big girl pants on. Let's get in the mic.
You were trying to get hot at me saying, don't be that wife. And I looked at you and said, I'm not saying this as your wife. I'm saying this as your friend.
Yeah. Looking out for me. She was definitely looking out for the boy, dude. And I got like 4 in. I hit up Harold because Harold and I were like, we're not drinking this week. I'm like, all right, accountability buddy. And I told Harold, like, I'm drinking. He goes, what? And yeah, but I'm just going to drink tequila and lime juice. I'm not putting any sugar in my body or anything like that. By the way, for those of you who want to drink responsibly, I'm not talking about quantity. I'm talking about how to feel better the next day. Because if you're, I don't know, like a 17 to 24 year old, shit's not going to faze you. So don't listen to anything I'm saying. Anybody over the age of 24, listen up closely. If your drink is brown, it's got a shitload of sugar in it. You're going to feel like asshole the next day. If the clearer it is, the less sugar that's in it. I'm a tequila guy. I'll do vodka, but I'd rather do tequila. They got Casamigos at the Wazoo. No free shout outs, Casamigos. Clooney, you better send me a goddamn check, buddy. I start drinking. Harold's like, okay, I'm in too. So me and Harold start going drink for drink. All right. Harold doesn't know that I like to play a game when I drink. The game is called try to get somebody else to die so you don't look as bad. Right. So I go and I find 2 or 3 people. I start scouting out my folks. I see Dennis Kelly, who is a tank, but he can be taken down. I see Harold Landry, low-hanging fruit. So I don't want to get him first. And I see Adam Bo- And I see Adam Bobo. And I'm like, okay, that's like, that's the porridge thing, right? Dennis is too much. Harold's too little. Maybe Bobo's my attack. So I get three drinks. I start tossing them out. And I hit everybody with the same thing. Oh, Alex was one too. And Alex was a little bit of a vault at first. But listen, everyone gets cracked eventually, all right, with persistence. I get the drinks for these boys, and I hand it to them. Alex had his own drink in his hand. I hit him with, hey, chug this drink. Dennis Kelly chugs the drink, unfazed. Adam Bobo chugs the drink, starts screaming. Harold Landry chugs the drink and makes a face like he's about to throw up right then and there. I do not chug my drink. I sip casually. Now listen, before you start thinking, oh, you don't drink, I was getting the fuck after it. But I needed to make sure that there were a couple other people that were also as lit as me towards the end of the night. So it wasn't just a remember what Taylor did story. You don't want to wake up in the morning as a guy that's like, oh, remember what Taylor did. And everyone's feeling great and you're writing freehand poetry with a quill in your room. Like, you don't want that shit to go down for you. So I start doing, I hit Alex. I go, Alex, chug that drink. He's with his wife, Meg, right? Maggie with an E. Maggie, he's like, hey, he looks at me all fucking pompous. I'm not that guy, pal. You know, he hits me with the, hey, pal, you're not that guy. But he's saying, I'm not that guy. Yeah. He doesn't do it. And I'm like, all right, Alex is out. I go back to Dennis. He chugs a drink. I'm drinking a drink. I get Harold drinking a drink. Now, Harold's playing a game with me, too, called Let's Count the Drinks. Well, whatever Harold would always say his number first, I would just add two. So Harold would be like, what are you at? I'm like, what are you at? One. I'm at three. What? And he'd run and go get a drink. Hey, where are you at? Oh, I'm at five. Okay, I'm at seven. What? Go grab one and give a drink. Everything was going great until the speeches started, dude. And I like a... We're like the groomsman table. Like, we go get her food. Taylor goes to pump because she's an unbelievable mom. She's going to pump them titties, get that milk out for the babies. I go up, I get her, I come back down, and the speeches are going to start. But I go over, and then the best table is at the best two tables are at the far end of the tent. It's where Darren Bates is, his wife, which shout out Darren Bates' wife. She's a fucking queen, dude. That chick rips. Darren Bates' wife, Harold is there. Dennis is there with his wife, also a queen. But Bates's wife showed out. So, hey, Jariana, like, listen, next time you see me, I show out a little bit more. Harold's there. Bobo's there. Bobo's date there. Molly, who's a cool chick. She was chest pumping me in the middle of the night. It was hilarious. And I forget who was else. Who was Jayon Brown was there.
Ryan from Hang 10.
Ryan from Hang 10, walking a mustache. Quiet cat, though. Mm-hmm. He's someone you need in the group. He's going to have all 10 people going crazy. You need that one guy who's in the back corner chilling. Ryan was there too. So he added some good value, even though I didn't remember that he was there for a second. But your boy was a couple of drinks in, so it's all good. And Bill Compton goes up. Now, I've been to a few weddings. I'm going to go back a little bit to February when I was at my brother Chris Arnold's wedding. There's a guy named Jed Blinder. This kid is fit for a goddamn straitjacket. But he brought the noise. He brought the heat. He made everybody feel comfortable the entire time. We did a speech thing. And every time someone got up, he would be screaming at the top of his lungs for that person. And I thought to myself, next wedding I go to, I'm going to be that guy for these people going up to give the speeches. Bill Compton gets up there. I start fucking, start getting after it for him. And it's like, it started getting popular, right? Because Bobo starts doing it. Alex starts doing it. Everyone's like cheering for Bill. Bill gets up there. And you think Bill's about to like walk into the UFC. Watch out, watch out. Like, he's fucking feeling himself now. He's strutting the arms out. Bill gets up, cranks out a beautiful speech. You could see him tear up a little bit. It was beautiful. It's nice. It's about 5 minutes long, right? Which is where you cap the speech. It's where you cap those things. Anything over 5 minutes, you're losing people. Bill does a great job. Bill goes and sits down. Charo's dad. What's Charo's dad's name?
Mr. Bishop.
Mr. Bishop. So Mr. Bishop gets up there. Now, let me explain Mr. Bishop to you. You meet Mr. Bishop and Mrs. Bishop. You can see why Charles is the way she is. Those two were the smartest people in the room. You can feel it. You could see it when you talk to them. They just vibrate at a higher frequency of intelligence. Extremely smart people. Mr. Bishop gets up. He's got his phone. He starts the speech off, and he starts the thing off going, I'll make this short and sweet. So I'm like, all right, we're about to go two for two. Starts talking. And then he starts saying... starts talking about Charo and how much adversity she's gone through and stuff like that. And then goes, I'm not going to tell her life story. In the same breath goes, when Charo was five, and then proceeds to tell us Charo's life story and dance, trials and tribulations, what she's gone through. I'm fine. I'm sitting down. Adam Bobo and Harold Landry are not okay. Harold thinks every other word that Mr. Bishop says is the funniest goddamn thing to ever happen in his life. He's doing the theatric. I'm 7 feet away from Mr. Bishop. And Bobo, who I'm like, hey, guy's like 37. He could probably help me out. He's an adult. Help me out with Harold. Bobo starts fucking buying into it. And now I got two children laughing their ass off at Mr. Bishop trying to have a moment staring at his daughter, also staring at his phone, also sliding a bunch because that was a long ass speech. Staring at his daughter. And I'm like trying to calm them down. I can't. Me and Molly, Bobo's date, we're sitting there like herding cats trying to get these two to just shut it. It hardly works. My worst nightmare was going to be when Mr. Bishop like turned and looked at us like, hey, please stop. But he didn't do that. Thank God. So Mr. Bishop hits us with, I'm not going to over-exaggerate, an 18-minute long speech. Right? Is that close? No. Alex?
I would say 9.
I would say that Bill's was like 2.
You think Bill's was 2 and then Mr. Bishop's was probably closer to 8 or 9? Yeah, I think that's about right.
I'd cut their mics off. So Mr. Bishop had an 18-minute long speech. The stories he told were amazing. I loved it. But when you're over here taking two children that are also your size, it was a tough task for your boy.
Was it your idea to tell Harold to start drinking waters? Because he ended up with 3 tables worth of waters in front of him.
We'll get to that. Yes, Harold had so many waters in front of him. And then, spoiler, happens when you drink a shitload of water, Harold? He had to pee halfway through Mr. Bishop's speech and would not fucking stop talking about how he had to pee in Mr. Bishop's speech. And I'm just trying to be respectful because I know I'm going to end up in a river in a second. So I'm about to use all my tokens of grace in about 45 minutes when these speeches are over. So Harold keeps talking anyway. Mr. Bishop gets done. It's a beautiful moment. You start to see Will do the back and forth knee dance. Like his knees are starting. He's been standing up for a long time watching them give speeches. Someone should have got them chairs. Then Charlotte's maid of honor gets up. Her speech is equally as long as Mr. Bishop's. But she also starts slaying Will. On a few things. It's always about his teeth or his grammar, which is nice, I guess. So the speech is finally in. Harold sprints to the bathroom and takes his pee. And now we get to the river part, which we're all waiting for, right? We're 45 minutes into this thing. It's time for me to start telling about the river. Well, I guess we're not going to tell you about the river. We have to go back to another thing. Let's talk about some Georgia boots. Talk about Dundon. Georgia boot is the most comfortable boot in the entire world. Georgia boots are most... What? Oh. Georgia Boot is America's hardest working boot. For 80 years, Georgia Boot's been making boots that work as hard as you do. Now, it's different for everybody else. That's why Georgia Boot has so many different boots. Tough enough for your job, cool enough for everything else. If I saw a guy at Will's Wing with Georgia boots on, I'd be like, this guy just gets it, right? We're in Montana. The guy understands everything. Will went on a dozen hikes, and he wore his Georgia boots. I like looking good even when I'm working, and these boots do that. Sometimes I try to take little studs from my football cleats, and I try to stab them into my Georgia boots. That's how comfortable they are. That's how supportive they are. That's how beautiful and comfortable they are. These boots hold up in any condition without sacrificing comfort. Go back to my last statement about football. I wish we had something like that. That'd be unbelievable. It has comfortable technology for an athlete shoe packed into a great-looking boot. Oof. Great-looking boots that are wildly comfortable at a price you can afford. These bullet points are really hitting home that they're comfortable, and I concur. Whether you're working on your feet all day, working around the house, or grilling with your friends, these boots won't sacrifice comfort or style. Georgia Boot offers the best work boot, wedges, and lodges around. God, these eyes, dude. Whether you need a waterproof boot, steel toe, soft toe, square toe, met guard, non-puncture, shank, non-slip sole, they've got it. Head over to georgiaboot.com and use code BUSSIN, that's BUSSIN, for 20% off. And also Georgia Boot, your emblem, I'm looking at it on the thing here. Let's turn that thing into a hat, dude. That's a badass looking little logo. I know we've talked about that before. I think Portnoy was the first one to bring that up. Yeah. But I'm doubling down on it so I can make it my idea. I'm the last person that said it. We need to turn that into a hat. All right. Harold runs to the bathroom. I have this dumb bit I do every time I go to a wedding. At some point in the wedding, when people are drinking, having a good time, usually it's at night when it's dark and it's like towards the end of the night. People are dancing, whatever, and I go and I tell everybody not to pay attention to me, and I pretend to be laid passed out on the floor, and I have somebody grab my phone and pan across all these people just talking, enjoying themselves, and then point it at me. laying on the ground like a dead corpse. Why? Because I think it's funny and I don't take myself too seriously. I also don't read a lot of comments, but when this video came out that I'm about to explain, some of y'all, and I mean this with all due respect, are absolute idiots. Why would I post that video if I was actually face down in a river? First off, I'd be in a hospital. So you can't actually think that I'm that fucked up, right? I'm, to Harold, 9 drinks in real life, 7 drinks in. Now, this is a span of 3-4 hours, okay? So I know Jack's trying to do the math. I couldn't drive, but I was okay, right? Because we don't drink and drive, folks, not here. So I get a bunch of people to start coming out. Well, back up real quick. Will knows I'm going to do this. Will's very aware that I'm about to do the river thing. We've talked about it. He thinks it's hilarious. This will never piss off a guy like Will. Like we said, so easygoing. And he's all about that content. He's all about them clicks. And he knew right then and there that this is going to get clicks. So I start bringing people out. And originally, I was going to be completely naked. Now, let me tell you something. That water cold, ba. All right? And is it Amir Abdullah? What's it?
Yeah.
Will's told me some things about our boy Amir Abdullah. All right? And that thing, I can't let be naked in a cold water and him looking at me. I lose a lot of respect for the boy, if you know what I'm saying. You know? I lose a lot of respect in my end of the tree. Because my man... Allegedly, right? Allegedly. Now he's got a girl and everything, so that's it. But it's like that Budweiser can right there. That's what we're talking about. That's his piece. That's Will's words, not mine. I haven't seen it. But we all peek. We've talked about that. So I'm like, I'm gonna go undies, all right? Because your boy's a little insecure now, right? So I have my dress shoes on, my socks, I strip down, and I tell these people to come out and I say, hey, just don't pay attention to me. And so what do? Not, no one fucking listens at all. No one listens. What are you doing? I'm like, just shut the fuck. Just like chill. All I care about is blocking the shot of you guys looking like nothing's going on and made dead in this river. So if you watch the video, originally there's a bunch of sticks. So I thought it'd be hilarious if my dead corpse was like face down over the sticks. Like my legs would be in the air. Like he's for sure dead. I start going down. And what I do is I don't spend 3 minutes in the water and actually die. I'm staring at Bloss waiting for him to start the pan. Once he starts the pan, I know I'm up. Your boy's up next. So I see him start the pan. I go face down. I get up. I think the shot's great. I walk back. Listen, that's a raging river. All right. They call it white water for a reason. That's when the water's going fast enough. It hits the rocks. It makes white water. It wasn't an easy task getting back and forth from that thing, but your boy's got commitment. I came back out. I go, Bloss, how'd it go? He goes, oh, we can cut some things, blah, blah, blah. Alex, being the good friend he is, goes, it'd be better if it was just one shot, though. So I had to get my ass back out there. Finally, people decide that the naked 6'7", 310 guy is no longer an interest to us, and they turn around and they start talking. And I go, what'd we say? There was a giant rock, and I was like, I'll just drape my corpse over this rock instead. Oh, we got the shot. It's unbelievable. I think it's top notch hilarious. And it's filmed like something from The Office, like a bunch of people talking, and then it pans in. It's just like all you hear is water, no one talking anymore, and just zooms in, shaky camera and everything. Bloss did a great job, dude. That was fun. The wedding was all time, man. It was really good time. But after this, I'm not wearing my suit anymore. I'm not gonna go put on a monkey suit again. I'm gonna go put my Dale Earnhardt shirt, a black pair of shorts, and some shoes. Now it's freezing the whole time because everyone says, oh, it's 80 in Montana right now. Fun fact. It was like 50. I don't know. But I was freezing cold towards the end of the night. But then we turned it up. Then the crew started to ramp it up. We walk in. Will starts. They put on Masterpiece by DaBaby. That song fucks so hard. And obviously the tier ones, the tier twos, and the tier threes that are listening to this right now, you know that me and Will love that song. All these guys start getting around Will. They put the song on. There's this giant camera. And Will starts doing his own music video to this thing, which I can't wait for it to come out. It was top, dude. It was so fucking funny, the shit he was doing. We're jumping around, dancing. Will can't dance for shit, dude. Will can't fucking dance at all. It's hilarious because Charo can cut shit down with her moves, dude. If she swang around too fast, she'd knock a tree down. That's how fucking hard she rips on the dance floor. And it's not like you can tell who the professional cheerleaders / dancers are. I don't want to sound disrespectful. It's like calling a massage therapist a masseuse. I don't know what the right terminology is. But these women are getting the fuck after it. Yeah, that's Will. Have you guys seen the video of Darren Bates posting? God, it's hilarious. Look at Will's like hopping around like he's like Scottish or whatever they're doing.
Irish step.
Hey, 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 hey. Yeah, he's just stomping around. But it was so funny. And then like they're playing like Swag Surf and what was the what was the other, anyway, it's a bunch of different dance songs, and it's like a cluster of dudes doing whatever, and then women breaking that shit down. Like, shit, you just kind of get a chair and you go, I don't want to be disrespectful, but I'm just going to watch this because this is like poetry in motion. They're getting, dude, this little Lee girl, I'm getting a drink at the bar and I gently step back on her foot. She says I broke her toe. She's a goddamn liar is what she is. But I step on the back of her foot. Kenny, Will's groomsman, goes, I saw the whole thing. Don't worry. She wants to make an elaborate thing out of it. I respect it. I got some big feet and I was wearing my dress shoes still at the time. Stepped on her toe. And she's like, you broke my toe. Allegedly was crying in the corner. Well, I don't know if she took some Percocets or something, because 15 minutes later, this woman is getting down. Like, I shouldn't be looking at this girl with my wife around down. Like, she's getting the fuck after it in a fun, happy-go-lucky way. But that thing was moving up and down. I was like, I don't know what to do, right? Girls were dancing everywhere. It was wild. But it's like one section is like people are these women know exactly what they're doing. And the other section is just dudes jumping and hitting each other. The combination of people with slayers. And it would go from like rap music, like The Baby's on, then all of a sudden Big and Rich comes on, like a country song, like Save a Horse, Ride a Cowboy, back and forth. So it was like it was just a fun time, dude. We had a great time. So they call last call at 11 o'clock. And I'm like, I get Harold. Harold is now a walking zombie. To him, I'm at 42. And he sees that whatever number he told me. But he's been drinking water a lot. So like my boy's working through it. Bobo lost him for a little bit, but he's back. Dennis Kelly, like a fucking Clydesdale, dude. The guy was just literally could have had like an IV drip of alcohol into his vein. And he would have been totally fine. The guy, I've never in my life seen a man drink the way he does. Jan's ripped up too. I feel like I have to say Jan's name because I love the boy. So they're making last call. And in my head, I'm like, if I'm drinking for the first time, and however many months, we went from a year earlier, let's call it 18 now so I look cooler. I want this party to keep going. Across the street, there's this bar called Corral. Corral, what do you do with people? You corral them around. They call last call. We get the microphone. We say we're doing the sparkler thing. Will cannot speak. Will is exactly what Lee described him as when they met him. He can't talk. I think his old teeth came back for a second. He was... Like eyes were closed. It was, the lights were on, but no one was home. Like, he was dead body. And like me and Charo, shout out to Charo. She danced her ass off all night, drank all night, and was still like crushing it. Like, I think she sweated it all out. She was like getting after it. We're like slapping him in the face. We're hitting him going, hey man, listen, like, you got, all you gotta do is just walk and go to your room and consummate your marriage. That's all you gotta do. Walk and go to your room. 20 minutes goes by. Sparklers are almost ran out. And we finally get Will to start walking. And I have this beautiful photo of Will. He tripped over an ant or something like that, dude. And he fell over. He's dead on the floor. Charles laughing. You can tell her. She's a little concerned in her face, though. Like, is he going to die? Like, is this it? And he gets up. I'm pretty sure he finds Boss somehow at the camera and points at the camera. You said he pointed at the camera, Tay? Was that using it? Yeah. Boss is standing over top of him. He points at the camera and they go on their merry way. Me, new mission. Everybody's going to Corral. That's what we're doing. So I start herding the cats. Alex hits me with, dude, I already threw up twice. Okay. I threw up in the river once.
You
I threw
killed
up.
Killed me with tequila shots.
No, oh.
Killed me.
So Alex, in the beginning of the night, as we've already referred, I go, hey, chug that. He goes, not that guy, pal. Fast forward an hour and a half later, I hit him again. Just, hey, maybe lightning will strike. I'm like, hey, chug that drink. He stares me in the eyes and just cranks the thing down this whole time. Just cranks it. Done. Get him a new one. Cranks it again. This man, that vault is open. All the cash is out. You've been robbed, buddy. You were done. He's out of here. But guess what? The man kept going. I start telling people we're going to Corral. I think some people said to me, we're not going. I said, look up in the sky. What do you see? You see stars. you see stars. What do we all want to be in life? We all want to be stars. Think about all your hopes, dreams, and ambitions. And where's it at? It's
right
at Corral.
I said, no, I don't. I don't want that. I don't want to be a star.
But where'd you go?
I went to Corral.
You went to Corral. We hit like, Talon, you better not do this. 40 people went. Now, not less. 40 or 40 plus. We walk into this place. We're in Montana. We're not just in Montana. We're off a highway in Montana. Like, there's like six people maybe in this entire bar, all locals. And there's this one dude. His name is, I think, Ernie or something like that. He's been going there for like 30 years. He was a logger. We get a tab going. The whole crew is getting after it. There's country music playing when we get in there. Within 5 minutes, Darren Bates has a new speaker. That music is now off, and he's playing whatever music he wants.
On a Bluetooth. On a Bluetooth people on the table.
Yeah. Yeah, Bluetooth on the table. People are rattled. Well, those people, they end up fitting in just fine. Credit Karma Money is brand new checking account where you can win cash reimbursements for making purchases. When you use Credit Karma, when you use your Credit Karma debit card, you can win daily instant Karma purchases purchase reimbursements on items up to $5,000. There's a comma in that. That's how much money it is. Just pay with your debit card, and if you win, you'll be notified on the spot, and your instant Karma cash will be added back into your spend account. Credit Karma has already given away over $3 million in instant Karma to over 50,000 Credit Karma members and counting. Over your FDIC insured spend account. Okay, let's try that again, because those
open as well.
With the big letters all put together, that's always tough for me. Open your FDIC insured spend account for free. There's no minimum balance requirements, no overdraft fees, and free withdrawals from a network with over 50,000 ATMs. 50,000 is a lot of ATMs. Only for July 1st through the 23rd, and when you make a purchase between July 1st and 23rd, you'll automatically enter to win $1 million. That's two commas. Credit Karma Money progress starts here. Right now, visit creditkarma.com/winmoney to open your free account and start winning instant karma. Go to Credit Karma. Go to creditkarma.com/winmoney to sign up for free and start winning instant karma. That's creditkarma.com/winmoney. Instant Karma is sponsored by Credit Karma. No purchase necessary. Exclusions and terms apply. See rules. Banking service provided by MVB Bank, Inc. Member FDIC. Maximum balance and transfer limits apply. Will always does that so well.
Yeah.
So we get to the corral. Now, I wasn't going to say this before, but because of the story, I'm going to say this part. I take my credit card out, and I'm going to do everybody a solid, because we're in Montana. How much can it be your cost here? I have no idea. I give the guy my credit card, and I say, hey, opening a tab for the whole entire bar. Anybody who orders a drink between now and when I leave, it's on me. This goes for the locals, too. This guy, I think Ernest, or something like that. He's a logger. Guy's outstanding. He's been going there forever. He was appreciative. We were hanging out. Taylan is my wife, for those of you who are new. Taylan has decided that Harold hasn't been drinking as much as he says he's been drinking, because Harold is coherently looking Taylan in the eyes, speaking perfectly English, saying, I'm so fucked up right now. Oh, I'm so drunk right now. And Taylan goes, this dude ain't as drunk as he thinks he is. So someone goes, gets a vodka water, tries to give it to Harold. Harold says, I don't want that drink. Taylan goes, he's going to have that drink in her head. She takes his water cup in front of his face and pours the entire drink into his cup and then hands it to him. And then says, hey, chug that water, right? Says, chug that water. Alex is looking at Harold like, please, God, don't do this.
Because him and I were passing that water cup back and forth. So this is also my water cup now that is now vodka.
So Harold's looking at, to Harold's recollection on the flight home, he's looking at Alex going, why is this dude staring at me so weird? Like, what's he want? Not knowing that Alex is just trying to save a life, right? He's just trying to save a human being from the uncertain death of throwing up. Harold chugs the drink per Taylan's request, immediately stands up, immediately runs out of the bar, and immediately starts vomiting. He says he opened his mouth and it did not stop. he lost it all out there. He comes back in. He comes to me like a sad puppy, says, I just threw up. And I start giving him the, hey, buddy, that's all good. When you throw up, you feel so much better the next day. Think of all that stuff. It's not going to be in your system anymore. It's all good. And he goes, well, I threw up. I still feel drunk. It's like, yeah, it doesn't just sit in your stomach. Like, the shit goes and it goes across your body, and that's what it does. So that was the end of Harold's night. I think he went home right after that. The wedding was outstanding. The place was great. The people were great. I think overall, it doesn't matter about the venue. It never does. It's all about the people you bring around, and everybody was down to party that weekend. Everyone had a great time. It was awesome. Side note, Will's brother, Cody, was the drunkest girl at the party the entire weekend, by far. Yeah, with Taylan, and she was on a mic. She said at one point, Cody had a glass in his hand, and he just shattered it in his hand. That's the kind of shit we were dealing with. But that was the wedding. It was unbelievable. Let's see. What is this? Barstool.
This is Freshly.
Where's the thing? All right, I got it. Go back up. Oh, man, dinner time can be chaotic. But with Freshly, it's easy. Their chefs take care of your meals a few nights a week and take the pressure off of you. We're all trying to get in shape and eat right. We all want to look good, right? Take the shirt off. It's summertime. We're feeling ourselves. Freshly can help. Their delicious meals are designed by a nutritionist and cooked by chefs, making it easy to eat better. God, I hope they make something for eyes. Maybe carrots or some shit, right? Carrots up with eyes, don't they?
Yep.
Stress, tired, eyes don't work very well. Just don't feel like cooking. Food that's fast doesn't have to be fast food. Freshly offers quality meals without the hard work of prepping, cooking, and cleaning. Freshly offers chef-made, nutrient-packed, delicious meals delivered fresh to your door. No cooking required. Grocery shopping and cooking can be a pain, especially right now. And with Freshly, you don't have to. Your meals arrive cooked and fresh every single week, so you can keep your fridge stocked and skip the trip to the store. That's time. Time is money. Order is easy. Visit Freshly.com and choose over 30 delicious, satisfying. Sorry, I think I'm going to throw up in my mouth. Not because of Freshly, because for some reason I'm hungover 2 days later, not one. That's ridiculous. Ordering is easy. Visit Freshly.com and choose from your 30 delicious, satisfying, better-for-you meals like steak, peppercorn, sausage, baked penne, or their chicken pesto bowl. Freshly can fit your lifestyle with a variety of plans, meals to pick from. I'm spiraling. From that work for your dietary needs. We're going to read every single word. Preferences, taste, and family size. And now our listeners can try Freshly for just $6.16 per meal. Very specific, but we need that 16 cents. Stop searching the internet for healthy food near me every night and start living life Freshly. Your meals are always delivered fresh, never frozen, and are ready to heat and enjoy in just 3 minutes. With new meals added each week, Freshly brings convenience of chef-made nutritionist-designed classics right to your kitchen. Right now, Freshly is offering our listeners $40 off your first two orders when you go to freshly.com/bussin. Stop stressing about dinner. Go to freshly.com/bussin, freshly.com/bussin for $40 off your first two orders. That's freshly.com/bussin for $40 off on your first two orders. Holy shit, dude. Oh my God. How do you guys listen to this shit?
This week on Buffin with the Boys.
Yeah. Boy, gotta get words out. Listen, we had a great time. Let's do some current events.
Sure.
Let's do the girls. Oh, listen, current events. This is a big one. And I don't know, like, I don't even know how to approach this because you don't ever want to be that guy. What is this?
I'm just pulling up highlights of what you're about to
talk about. I know who Carl Nassib is. Recently in the NFL, Carl Nassib is the first active NFL player to come out as homosexual. People say Michael Sam was the first one. I think the difference between these two is that Michael Sam never actually played a real snap in an NFL game. He played some preseason, but I think that's about it. Carl just signed like a 3-year, $24.3 million deal with the Las Vegas Raiders. Mm-hmm. Here's my stance on the whole thing. I don't care if you're gay. I don't think it truly matters what your sexual orientation is. I think if anybody really does care that much, like your dude, like shit's not affecting you. If you're gay or straight, like we shouldn't have to tell people our sexual orientation unless like it's in a conversation. We're like, yeah, by the way, you know what I'm saying? But given that Carl is the first one to come out, I think, you know, people say it's super brave and it is. I think for him to come out and say the things he did about being gay, and he said it great in his comments. He said, I hope someday, like we don't have to do this where you don't have to come out as gay. It's just part of the deal. And I 100% agree with it. Cause as a straight guy, who cares? You know, it's not like he's going to try to come get you. What are you mad about? Like if someone's gay or straight or bisexual or whatever it is, it doesn't make a lot of sense to me for people to be all hung up on that shit. Cause it's like, you know, jokingly, like if I was a single dude, it's like, okay, good. One less dude out of the way, more for me and you, right? Like a Will Ferrell skit. But like, I don't know. Is somebody here?
Yeah, somebody just walked in. Who is it? Oh, okay.
Who's Brad?
He's working on the new music segment we're doing.
Oh, cool. Yeah, so Carl came out as gay. I think I'm super happy for him to be able to get that. If he felt it was necessary to say that, I think it's going to be awesome for anybody else. They, you know, the talk in the locker room a lot is like they say like there's two or three guys in each locker room that might be gay, and it's like if Carl being the guy to go be the first one to do that, I hope anybody who is gay and thinks they need to say it or need the strength to do it, I hope this is a cool opportunity for them to go, hey, like, you know, I'm also gay. Cause it's like, we got to stop living and like giving people titles of like, who cares what your sexual orientation is. It's ridiculous.
Have you played with guys who are openly gay in the locker room, but maybe haven't gone publicly to the media?
No, I've never not openly gay to the locker room, but I've played. I mean, I guess he's openly gay now. It doesn't matter if I say anything. Eric Gunderson, he and I were the same. We both came in 2009 to the University of Michigan. He walked on, played all 5 years. He was my roommate my senior year. He's now openly gay in a relationship with somebody, and I think he lives in Chicago now. Super happy about it. Mm-hmm. Like, and it's like, yeah, who cares? You know, I think another teammate of mine who I played with, I don't know if he's out there openly, but he's gay. It's like, I feel like it's so weird to talk about. Like, Taylor brought up a good point when the Dave Portnoy sex tape came out and she's like watching it. She's like, oh, why do I need to see this? None of my business. And that's kind of how I feel talking about this is like, this shit's none of my business. It's none of our business what people's sexual orientation is at all. And if you're uncomfortable with it, it's like, you know, it's what's different strokes for different folks. Like if you're not into it, whatever, it's over.
You see this clip of T.O.?
No, I didn't. So I didn't see it.
T.O. showed up to Deion Sanders' camp and started going off on these high school DBs.
Did he?
Yeah.
T.O. is a specimen.
He's 47 years old.
Yeah, it's... Oh. Broke kids off.
Do you think guys like this, like T.O.?
Chad Ochocinco?
Yeah, guys that are out of the game, you think that they really could still come back in and play right now?
I don't know. I don't know if guys can come back in or play or not, because the deal is like, contact. I don't know how to, no, not contact. I don't know how to play wide receiver. Like, I don't, like, these are high school kids. Like, stats, I don't know why I'm saying statistics so much, says none of these kids are going to make it. You know what I'm saying? Like, so you don't know, like, you get one of the best DBs. That's even like our first round kid, Caleb Farley, who wants all the smoke from everybody. Like, he might ham his ass up. You know, I don't know. That's such a foreign world to me, the wide receiver and DB world. But I think it's cool as shit to see this. I think it'd be cool to get a guy like T.O. in a locker room and then have him go play a preseason game.
Yeah.
Like, there's nothing, it's not taking away from anybody except for maybe a guy who's trying to actually make the team. Like, you put a guy out there for a few snaps and say, all right, go give it hell and see what happens. And that'd be cool to see. But Ochocinco says he could. T.O., from the looks of it, he looks crisp. 47?
47. He's jacked up.
He's jacked up. He looks good. Him, Shannon Sharp, Ochocinco. I mean, Joe Thomas couldn't play anymore, but he looks fantastic. Obviously cheating, but like, who cares, right? Like, do your thing, buddy. I think that's badass. I think it'd be cool if someone, if they let a couple of these guys strap up for a preseason game and go out there and take some snaps, be like, hey, these are the three plays we're going to run. That'd be pretty badass.
So this clip's from, this is a bike race. That,
do I need to listen?
No. But it's good to see fans back out there, obviously. And here's a little fan interaction that went down this week.
Oh, good. Oh, good. Oh, the guy in the blue in the front is so happy he wasn't a part of that. Well, this is it again. Just an absolute traffic jam.
Yeah.
It's nice to see fans back out. It's nice to see fans back out. That's another thing with the NCAA and NC State and the Vanderbilt thing is the stands are packed. Yeah. No mask. People are doing, like, it's literally like 2019 all over again. That's crazy. But I will say it's unbelievable to get back to normal. Whatever your stance is on the whole thing, I think all of us, one way or another, want to go back to a regular world. And I think the fact that we're getting to that is pretty fucking cool. The tight end, you looked fire. I think it's badass when these people do that. I know. I think Lane Johnson started like an O-line one as well. Von Miller doing a pass rush summit scares the shit out of me. Because, you know, if they start talking about you, this is how you beat this guy. Mm-hmm. I don't want those hands. I don't want people to know things that maybe somebody else knows about me. But the tight end, you look sweet. I actually work out at Lipscomb University all the time. Trent Dilford there has done a really good job of setting up that school. The way he went in, and he is having the best tight ends in the NFL go there and just be there around those kids. I think that's huge. And obviously Kittle, he's a friend of the bus, and he's a friend of mine. I think he can do whatever he wants after football. He's setting himself up. He's going to be well off in a lot of ways. And I think he's doing it right, man. I don't know how it is for these high school kids. I got to sneeze. Hold on. It's coming.
Bless you.
Thank you, Taylor.
Bless you.
Thank you, Taylor. Thank you, Alex. I think when I was in high school and stuff, it was not high school. When you get to college, it's like, hey, stay in your lane. You're an offensive lineman, or stay in your lane. You're a tight end or whatever. Only the wide receivers and the DBs and the running backs get to act like this, and some of the quarterbacks. I think it's cool now that people are able to find a voice. And I think it happens a lot with social media. Obviously, the double-edged sword of a social media. Everyone's in your business, but at the same time, you have to grow a brand, which is really cool. I think for any kid who's listening, you have an opportunity to go play college, go play NFL. Like, there's always going to be the old school cats that are like, you shouldn't do this, you shouldn't do that, you shouldn't start a podcast, you shouldn't, you know, be loud and obnoxious. Here's what you should do, because it'll never fail. Be yourself. If you're yourself, you're not going to have all the friends in the world, because you're not going to conform to what everybody else wants, but you have a much tighter friend group, and you're going to be a lot more happy with what you're doing. Just be yourself. And if that means you want to go out and do a bunch of stuff, as long as you focus on what's most important, which whatever sports that is, then you're good to go, man. But I think Kittle is a perfect example of that. Guy gets after it in the football field. He has a lot of friends around him in the tight end world, and able to create something that's really cool. And his brand is just blowing up, man. He's like, you know, that's a crazy way for people to monetize and make money now, is like, be yourself and sell yourself. And that's pretty badass, man. So shout out to Kittle and the boys and Kelsey for doing the tight end you thing. That was rad. I think that's it. I think we did it. Hour 19. If it was boring today, go fuck yourself. I was really tired, but I had a lot of fun with you guys today. Seriously, each and every one of you on the YouTube, on the thing. If you guys are thinking about it, we have those dad hats that just came out. Yeah, dad. Father's Day passed, but it's never a bad time to give your dad a nice little cool little deal. So go to, is it bustwiththeboys.com or barstoolsports.com. Go to the Bustin website. Get you some merch. You need it. Got to have it. We got these shirts. Alex is wearing the same shirt in the back there. I joked on Jack's Grateful Dead shirt, but honestly, we could maybe cop that, turn that into a Bustin' with the Boys shirt. Send your requests, folks. Send them out. We love you. Big hugs. Tiny kisses.
Big shout out to you guys. If you enjoyed this episode and love and support Bustin' with the Boys, go to whatever podcast platform you're on and subscribe to us. Leave a review, rate 5 stars. If you're already subscribed, unsubscribe and resubscribe again. It helps the boys climb the charts. And again, we wouldn't be doing this and can't do this without you guys and all of your support. We also have a YouTube channel. If you'd like to watch our show or these episodes, they're on YouTube at Bustin' with the Boys. We're also on social media at Bustin' WTB. You can follow us everywhere. Go buy our merch. You guys know that whole deal. But thank you so much. We are forever grateful for you. The biggest of hugs and tiniest of kisses. For the boys, always and forever.
Spectrum One is a big deal. You get Spectrum Internet with the most reliable internet speeds, free advanced Wi-Fi for enhanced security and privacy, and a free Spectrum Mobile Unlimited line with nationwide 5G included, all while saving big. For the big speed, big reliability, and big savings you want, get Spectrum One. Just $49.99 a month for 12 months. Visit spectrum.com/bigdeal for full details. Offer subject to change. Valid for qualified residential customers only. Service not available in all areas. Restrictions apply.
Get ultimate protection and durability for your painting project at Menards. Get a paint that combines durability and gorgeous color. Dutch Boy's DuraClean Interior Paint and Primer in 1 offers Stay Clean technology, making your home stay beautiful and clean longer. And with Dutch Boy's easy opening, smooth pouring container, transforming your home has never been easier. Save big money on Dutch Boy paints and head into Menards to get your paint project started today.
Save big money at Menards.